short of the glory of God. I understand what that means. I'm a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I understand that because I know what it means, not just to die physically, but the Bible describes a thing which is a spiritual death, which is separation from God. And unless you got saved at a very young age, you remember what that was like. And then the Bible says this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know what that means. Amen. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I know what a gift is. I know what Jesus did. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, to make that gift possible. There's not a person in this room that couldn't receive that gift. God's willing to give that gift to anybody. There's some wicked people out there that say, well, God just gives that gift to some people. No, that he's not willing any should perish. And when you have received that gift, the Bible says in Ephesians that you will receive the Spirit of God. And it's an interesting phrase, it's called the earnest of the Spirit, which is kind of like a deposit that you make when you buy something. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that he would give us the Spirit. And that is proof of what he's done for us. And if you never have received that, I won't be long this morning. And at the end of the service, you could come and find out what that means to receive that gift of eternal life. Matthew chapter 8 this morning. We just finished the Sermon on the Mount. Almost everyone has heard of the Sermon on the Mount. And chapter 7 at the end of the chapter is the end of that sermon. And now you're kind of excited. What's going to happen next? The Lord just preached the word. Now he's going to demonstrate the power of his word. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ has all power. Yes. Yeah. You say, well, I don't know what God could do. There's some things God can't do. Pastor, I thought God could do anything. No, he can't lie. He will not violate his word. Amen. Someone says, wouldn't it be nice if the devil got saved someday? That's not going to happen. The Bible says it's not going to happen. But God's word is powerful, and you're going to see that in chapter 8. You know, it's one thing to talk. A lot of people talk. A lot of people say, they make claims, and they say they can do things, and talk is cheap, is what I have been told. But when talk is backed up with action, then you know something's real. I used to work for a company a long time ago, we had a customer. And someone asked him, he said, what's one good thing that you could say about this company? And the customer said, they did what they said they would do. Huh. We ought to do what we say we would do, amen? The Lord did what he said he would do, amen? So I'm kind of excited about this. Make sure you got your Bible open to Matthew chapter 8 or I might run up and embarrass you. No, I wouldn't do that. But I want you to follow along with me in chapter 8. And let me put my eyes on here, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west. He's talking about you and I, by the way. And shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. Thank you for these people that have assembled to worship you. And thank you for the good song service and the folks visiting with us today. Thank you for the promises in the Bible. Thank you for these young people that believe those promises. Thank you for the others here that have trusted Christ as Savior and believe those promises as well. Lord, I can do nothing without your guidance and your spirit today. And while we are enthused and encouraged by the fact that you're so good to us, we still need your power in this message, in this service, in this time. Please speak to these people through the Word of God. Use me as an instrument. Lord, I pray that the Word of God would be heard clearly and that folks would decide to believe it and act upon it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Something really interesting in that very first verse that you'll probably think about and realize is very true. It says, great multitudes followed him. And interesting that as the years went by, that number thinned out. In fact, towards the end of his ministry, there were only about 120 that followed him. Because it's one thing to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear what he can do, maybe even see what he can do for other people and think to yourself, he can do great things for me, and he can. But then to realize he also expects some things from us. Now, don't misunderstand me. Salvation is a free gift. But the Christian life is not a free life. I told the Sunday school class, and so some will have heard some of this. I was in Salt Lake City Monday through Wednesday, left there Thursday morning and drove back, got there Monday night. Monday night, preached a message, and I talked about some of the trials that we go through in this country as Christians. I would ask you to think to yourself, what's the worst thing you've ever had to endure as a Christian? And I talked about some of those things, and there was a man there in the service that was just quietly listening to me and didn't seem to be all that impressed. And then the next night, he got up to preach. He is a pastor in Syria. Now, if you don't know about Syria, if you've seen the pictures of what's left of Syria, Syria has been in a civil war now for quite a long period of time. There's not much left of Syria. It is a country filled with bombed out buildings and horrible scenes of destruction. There is no civil order. There's no law enforcement. It is different aspects or different sects of Islam fighting each other for control. I got to say this. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. And so he said if it was, his servants would fight. But his servants didn't fight because our kingdom is not here. It's in eternity. But Islam's kingdom is in this world, and they fight. And this man, this pastor, told stories of church members that had been killed because of their faith. Church members who had children who had been kidnapped and killed because of their faith. And it kind of puts it all in perspective. You think, wow, maybe we haven't suffered so bad after all. Now, let me tell you something. When the Lord Jesus Christ saved you, he came into your life and he enables you, he gives you the power to live a life for him. It's not our strength, it's his strength that does that. And God gives you, he promises us strength for the day. In other words, what God asks you to go through, he'll give you the strength. I don't know how much strength it would take to hear that my son had been captured and kidnapped and murdered because he was a Christian. That'd be a very painful thing to endure. But if God asked you to go through that, he'd give you the strength to endure it. So multitudes followed him, but as the years went on, that number thinned out. Don't be one of those folks that falls by the wayside, amen? And you need to say, well, Pastor, how can I do that? You know, part of faithfulness is just a decision. I decided I'm going to be in church. I decided a long time ago, I'm going to go to church. I have that power. Now, there's occasions I might get sick, I might be out of town, but I'm going to be in church. I can make that decision. And you can too. I'm going to read my Bible. You can too. Amen? Don't focus on what you can't do. Just do what you can. Anyway, the numbers thinned out. That's not the focus of the message. But then what we see is the power of the Word of God. And you see that in the healing of a leper, a servant, a mother, actually a mother-in-law, and then many others. And in each of those cases, the Lord Jesus Christ proved the message by the works. Now, just remind you today, if somebody comes to you and says they can do miracles, I would immediately become very skeptical, because the Bible is very clear about the fact that the miracles that were done by Jesus and by Paul and people like that were done to confirm the Word of God while it was not yet finished. But if you've got an authorized version of the Bible in your hands, you've got a finished copy of the Bible. And you don't have to have a man stand up and do a miracle to prove he's preaching the Bible. You just look at what he's preaching from. Now, some of you here may not understand this, but in this church we use the authorized version of the Bible. Some people call it the King James Version, which is fine. And the reason we use that is because it is the Word of God. And if another book had the very same words in it, that could be the Word of God too. If the words are different, or if the words are missing, then what I do is return to what people have been using for the last 2,000 years. And I just tell you, you can trust this Bible. Lord Jesus Christ heals a leper. Look with me, if you will, in verse 2. It says, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, you would have to agree with me, especially if you'd seen anybody who has leprosy. What a great thing to be delivered from leprosy. For example, you might not know is in that day, leprosy made you an outcast. You could not be around other people. You could not go into a shop and buy things. You could not go to a social gathering. You couldn't go to the synagogue and worship. You couldn't go anywhere. You had to stay away from everyone. And if people came near you, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean, for them to stay away from you. Something jumps out if you see it in the passage. Jesus was willing to touch this man. Jesus was willing to touch this man. Most folks wouldn't have come within 10 yards of him. Folks, Jesus is willing to touch you and I. He really shouldn't have to come near us because of our wickedness. Say, Pastor, you don't know how wicked I've been. I know how wicked I've been, and he saved me. And if he can save Paul was killing Christians. And Paul said that, this saying is worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In other words, if he can save Paul, he can save anybody. Amen. If you haven't killed a Christian yet, good. Praise the Lord. If you have, let me know, okay? but the Lord Jesus Christ touched the leper. The leper came to him, and the leper said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. That's an interesting statement. What do you think the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do in your life? Amen? What do you think he wants to do? Do you think he wants you to live in sin and suffering? No. I want to tell you something. The wages of sin is death. You saw that billboard somewhere along the way that just about made him illegal now. And it's got some fellow up there smoking a cigarette, and he's happy. Maybe he's on a horse riding out in the wilderness, and they make it look so good. They don't show the picture of the person with lung cancer. The fellow that sells drugs doesn't tell you about all the people that have killed themselves or done horrible things or the sores that develop on their face because of the drugs. The person that gets involved in immorality doesn't tell you about the magazine that sells immorality, doesn't point out the suffering and the depression and the broken families and the heartache that stuff causes. These young people, you see, they don't know what we know. They haven't seen it. I hope they never do. Amen? They don't have to see it, brother. They don't have to know what it means to have a hangover. They haven't got to know what it means to have lung cancer. They haven't got to know what it means to be addicted to a drug or to some wicked behavior. They haven't got to know that. Now, the devil would tell them, it's okay, try it. You'll like it. It's not going to hurt you. The devil's a liar. That's not God's will that people suffer like that. Now, if you're here and you've been through some of that and you know what I'm talking about, I just want you to know something. It's not too late for the Lord to change you. Amen. There's a lot of people, and they say, I could never change. Yep, that's right. I've heard people tell me that. I could never change. You couldn't, but God could change you. Amen? Amen? I'm sure the number of the men in this church would stand up and say, you wouldn't have wanted to know me before I was saved. You wouldn't have wanted to know what I was like then. But praise God, I'm different. The Lord healed, cleansed that leper. And I got to get back to my glasses and my notes here, I'm sorry. And so that's one group of people that the Lord can help is those who sought him. This fellow sought him out. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at this next group of people in chapter 8 and verse 5. He entered into Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion. What's a centurion? A centurion was a Roman officer in the Roman military who had 100 men in his control. It would be roughly equivalent to what we call a company commander. The rank in the army is captain. And this centurion, you know, when you're in the army, and I've been there as an officer, it surprises you at first. People do what you tell them to do. If I, as an officer, I was a lieutenant. I had 30 men in my platoon. If I said, Corporal so-and-so, go to the mess hall and get us a case of water, he didn't say, I don't want to do that. He didn't say later. He didn't say, why don't you send somebody else? He just went and got a case of water. That's the way we ought to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. Amen? Amen. If he says to do something, we should just do it. Amen. So the centurion knows what it means to dispatch someone to do a job. He has a servant that he is caring for who is sick of the palsy in verse 6. And palsy, for all intents and purposes, is just paralysis. He couldn't move his legs. And he is suffering, and he is in danger of dying. I will remind you, the wages of sin is death. Sin will kill you. And you know what I'm talking about. So this servant who's got palsy, aren't you glad he had a centurion who cared about him? The servant couldn't go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't walk. But he had somebody that could go for him. He had somebody that could go to Christ on his behalf. Now, let me explain two things. First of all, you and I can go to the Lord Jesus Christ on someone else's behalf and pray for them. Amen. Even though they may not know or be able to go, we can go for them. I cannot save them that way, but I can bring the Lord Jesus Christ to them in the way that he can save them. And the devil's going to lie to you and tell you it doesn't do good to pray for a lost person. Oh, I think quite differently. I think the Lord Jesus Christ hears our prayers. Amen. You got a son or a daughter or an aunt or an uncle, father or mother, relative of some sort, somebody that you love, friend, neighbor, co-worker, boss, and they're not saved? Go to the Lord Jesus Christ on their behalf. The fancy name is intercessory prayer. But the simple thought is you pray for them. And that's what happened here. Now, in this case, and you already read the story, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll go to them. I'll go to the servant and heal him. Centurion said, you know, you really can't even, I'm not worthy of having you in my house. That's humility. That's a good thing. And so then he explained that he knew what it meant to send someone to do a task for him. He understood the power that Christ had, that he had authority to do things from afar. Now, just so you understand something, God is omnipresent. What that means is God is everywhere. So when you're in your room all by yourself, teenager, God's there. When you are out in public, God's there. In a special way, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's there in the midst. Let's see. One, two, three. Got it. He's here. Amen? But when you get in your car and drive home, He's with you then too. Sure, I'm glad. Because I tell you this, I don't want to be alone. I drove to Salt Lake City and back. I wasn't alone. I was in my car by myself as far as it looked, but the Lord Jesus Christ goes wherever we go. So anyway, this man says, I know what you can do from afar, and he did. There are those who benefit because someone else cared enough to pray for them. Young people, pray for your parents. Parents, pray for your children. Don't miss that opportunity to have God work in their life. Now, we're going to come back and look at some of these verses in a minute, but let me show you some more things at verse 14. Now, this is interesting. Jesus was come into Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. I got to point something out here. If you have a wife, you are married? Amen? If Peter was the first pope, he was married. If you don't know what I'm talking about, good. Don't worry. If you do know what I'm talking about, that's interesting. You can't have a mother-in-law unless you have a wife, and you can't have a wife unless you're married. And if you're married, you got a wife, and so you're not qualified, according to some people, to be a pope. But anyway, Peter had a wife. Now, I'm just going to say this. Don't get worried, but you don't see a lot about Peter's wife in the Bible. Peter, for example, in the book of Acts, does a lot of things. We don't hear much about his wife. I'm not going to try to explain why. We don't hear about Paul having a wife. That's a different matter. The man, the pastor in Syria, does not have a wife and does not have children because he said, if I did, they would kill him. And I don't want to expose anybody to that kind of danger, so I didn't get married. And that's something we have a hard time comprehending. But there are people like Paul that chose to serve God and to forego having a spouse because of what they faced. And again, it kind of puts what we face in a different light when you think of what some people have gone through. Peter, though, anyway, he brought the Lord Jesus Christ to his house, and his wife's mother was sick of a fever, and he, that's Jesus, touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And that's an interesting thought. When God delivers you from your sin, then why not serve Him? Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, Pastor, that would be hard. That would be embarrassing. That would be difficult. That would be time-consuming. No, it's really a joy. Had some chances to visit some folks this week that I haven't seen for a long time, but I knew them way back 20 years ago when I was in Salt Lake City, and we were talking about the prison ministry that we had there. And the prison ministry, we would go to the prison on Wednesday afternoons for a couple of hours. And when we finished up, it didn't seem fair because I'd leave the prison. And if anybody wants to know, the pastor's been in prison, but they let me out, all right? And I'd go to the prison, and when I left, I was so blessed. I just didn't seem right. It's like I was there to be a blessing to them, and they were more of a blessing to me. And I know those guys prayed for me, and they were glad to see me every week. And it was a joy. It's a joy to serve the Lord. If you've led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's a joy. Brother Mendez, he can't get around like he used to, so God sends people to him in his office. Recently, a fellow came in and talked to Brother Mendez, and how can I be saved? That's good. Was that a joy? It took a lot of your time, though. I mean, you probably had something else better to do, right? No. And then, you know what's interesting? When you give your time to God, God makes the rest of your time go further. It's just like your tithe. You can get a lot further with 90% than you can with 100. I know, I've been there. So the Lord Jesus Christ heals this Peter's mother-in-law, and she ministers. I'm almost done. We've seen three groups of people. We've seen the ones that sought Him out. If you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, go to Him. He will help you. Amen? If you have a need, go to Him. He can meet your need. If you have a burden, go to Him. He can carry your burden. He can lift your burden. I'm not trying to be fanciful here and just sell you anything. He really can help. There are those that seek him and he will be found. There are those that have someone who cared enough for them. There are those that he sought out. And the interesting thing about Peter's mother-in-law is I don't see any messenger coming to find him. I don't see her coming to find him. He found her. You remember in the garden, you heard the story of Adam and Eve. These young people ought to know this story. Adam and Eve were in the garden and they walked with God and then they sinned. And when they sinned, they realized that they were unclothed, and they made clothing for themselves out of plants, apparently. And they hid. You can't hide from God. And he sought them out. After they disobeyed him, he sought them out. And what did he do? He killed an animal. And he clothed them in the skin of the animal. That's a picture. The Lord Jesus Christ was killed because of our sin. And God clothes us in his righteousness. You say, Pastor, it's when I step into eternity and I stand before God, Pastor, all these sins, what about all these sins? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin for us. When he hung on that cross, he took your sins upon him. And he says, the Bible says, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He gave us his righteousness. When God looked at Adam and Eve, he saw the covering. When God looks at you and I, he sees the righteousness of Christ, if we're saved. That's what God can do. There's another group of people here, and I've got just enough time to describe them to you, and we'll be done. It's really sad. Look at verse 11. He says, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. Amen? You're going to meet Abraham. You can ask Abraham what it was like that day that he was ready to kill his son Isaac. If you don't know that story, quickly, God told Abraham, take your son Isaac and offer him as a burnt offering. And Abraham rose up early and he got Isaac and they took off to the place that God sent them. And when they got there, he bound his son. He made the wood for a fire. He laid his son in the fire. He lifted up the knife to take his son's life. And God stopped him. And before he even did that, Isaac said, I see the wood, I see everything else that we need, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham told Isaac, listen to this wording now, words are important. God will provide himself a sacrifice. Amen. Who died for our sins? God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting, I'm not sure I could prove this, but I've been told that if you were to go to the place where Abraham was about to offer his son, and if you look up, you can see the location where the Lord was crucified. Not too far away. The Lord Jesus Christ was offered for our sins. You can ask Abraham, what was it like that day? You can talk to Isaac, you can talk to Jacob, because just like everyone else who has received Christ as Savior, they've got eternal life. We're going to be there someday, amen? Amen? We're going to meet those brothers in Syria that have been martyred for the cause of Christ, and they're going to be glad they were willing to die for him. I hope we're willing to live for him. But look at this next verse. This is the sad one, verse 12. The children of the kingdom. Who's that? That's the Israelites that were living in Christ's day. Shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, the Bible says in John chapter 1 that Jesus came unto his own. That's the nation of Israel. He was an Israelite. And his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I can't preach the whole Bible right now, but Romans explains why he did that. Israel rejected Christ. God set them aside. And for almost 2,000 years, he's been dealing with you and I, the Gentiles. And one of these days, and it could be today, We're planning on baptizing Nick here in just about 5 minutes, five or ten. It could be Nick over there. I'm sorry, I'm pointing the wrong way. And there you are. Hey, brother. And you were sitting over here anyway. He's going to get baptized unless the Lord comes back. Amen? Amen? If the Lord comes back, we'll be together for all eternity.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He's going to come back someday.
But
when the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, he came to Israel and they rejected him. Aren't you glad you've accepted him? He'll help the people that come to him. He can deliver them. He can heal a leper. What a horrible disease. And this man was healed completely. He can help people if we'll bring those people to him in prayer. And he seeks people to help. He will not accept those that reject him. Israel didn't accept his authority. They were not willing to let him have his will in their life. They were afraid of what it would cost them. In hanging on to that little whatever they thought they had, they lost everything. Trust me, whatever you've got that you think you'd like to hang on to, God's got something 100 times better to give you. And he will, amen? He'll do that today. If you're here and you're saved, and you're hanging on to something instead of serving the Lord, just let go. Say, Pastor, I got this thing I do with my free time. I really enjoy it. I just don't want to give it up. If you would let the Lord Jesus Christ have the time he deserves, you'd find yourself a lot happier.
Amen.
Say, Pastor, I'm here. I'm not saved. I've got a sin I don't want to give up. I'm not saying you have to make yourself perfect, but if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll take things and make them right. He didn't just talk. It wasn't just a sermon on the mount. It was power.